Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, we do welcome you to Wednesday nights at Central. It's so great to see all of you. Wonderful to sense the awesome presence of God among us as we take time midweek just to refresh, to worship Him, to refocus. And we are going to be talking tonight and the next probably five following Wednesday nights on the various names of God. We sang a wonderful song tonight about how beautiful His name is, several songs that talk about the power of His name. And we just want to focus on specifically how His name, singular, and then the different ways in which His names break out for us in Scripture. We're going to be looking at a different name of God each week that's used for God. And tonight we're going to be talking about one of the most foundational names. It's a name of God that appears 6,500 times in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew. And it's the Hebrew name Yahweh or Jehovah. And just as the anchor verse for everything we're going to do, some of you know that when our girls were growing up, we taught them, Sandy would drive them to school. It would be a 7 or 8 minute drive to school in the morning. And so she used that time to teach them a memory verse. And she went through the alphabet, starting with A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our most famous verse was the T verse, T, P-Q-R-S, T. And it's this verse right here, and it's our anchor verse for the next few weeks. It's Psalm 9 and verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Now, that's one I wanted my girls to live on. Those who know your what? Name. Trust you. Because you see, my name is Jim. I still to this day have no idea why my mom named me Jim and my dad. And that would be an identifier name, Jim, next door at my quickly coming to a closed job at the Assemblies of God headquarters. They call me James there. I've kind of gone from Dr. James to Pastor Jim. But what's Jim? You know, what's James? It's just an identifier. However, when it comes to how in the Bible many people were named, their names were actually their nature. They were more than identifiers. They were a description of their destiny or their nature. And so it's like, it's more than, well, I know your name's Jim. Those who know your name will trust in you. Why can they trust in you? Because your name is your nature. So to know your name is to know that you are trustworthy to the core. That's why I can trust you. And as a result, I have this deep down conviction. Let's just put that one up just one more time. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And actually, the name of God used in that verse, Lord, is the name we're talking about tonight, the Hebrew name Jehovah or Yahweh. To really understand where that name comes from, we need to go to an interesting moment in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is 80 years old. He spent 40 years going to the best schools in Egypt and getting the best administrative training and the best military training. Spent the next 40 years in his life in a desert shepherding stinking sheep. And he's 80 years old, and God shows up and finally describes to him his life mission. So that gives all of us hope. If you're still south of 80, who knows what could yet happen, right? And he appears to Moses in a burning bush, and he said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt where your fellow Jews are, where your fellow Hebrews are. And I'm going to rescue the Israelites. At that point, the Israelites were a slave nation in Egypt. I'm going to rescue them. He's going to pull off the greatest jailbreak in history, God says. I'm going to do this. So I want you to go and get them out of Egypt. You know, and Moses, like, God, I thought you were going to rescue them. What is this me, go get them stuff? And so that launches like an insecurity fit that lasts a whole chapter and a half, where Moses is trying every conceivable way to convince God that he's not the guy to go back to Egypt after having run away from there 40 years earlier and get Israel out. And so at one point, right there, he says in verse 13, so Moses tries this on God. Okay, I'm going to go tell them I've arrived and everything. Moses said to God, so suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, and there's the question, what's his name? So what should I tell them, Moses said. What is your name, by the way? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. He doesn't say I'm Robert, but you can call my friends call me Bob. He doesn't pull any of that. I mean, what a name. Just tell them, my name is I am what I am. And I am that I am in the Hebrew is related to the verb, Hebrew verb to be, which sounds to the ear like Yahweh or Jehovah. And that's where it comes from. This identifier that goes on to be used several thousand times as the identity of God by name. If you know his name, you know his nature. And here he is. He is the I am. In other words, he's saying, Moses, I'm about to deliver 2 million people out of slavery. And you're going to have to cross a sea. When I get them into the wilderness, I'm going to feed them with bread from heaven every day. I'm going to have you strike rocks and water's going to come out. I mean, all of these impossible things lie before you. And when you face the challenge of the task I'm giving you, when you confront these impossibilities, I want you to know that I will be, by nature, all that you're going to need. In other words, when your kid runs away from home, he's still I am. And he is I am. He is all you will need in that moment. When a medical diagnosis comes along and you can't understand and you just hated to hear it, he is I am. In other words, he is saying, I am all that you're going to need because I am totally sufficient for whatever the challenge is going to be before you. Every step of faith you start, every new business you start, that obeying God and going back to school, and I don't know if I can do this. God is just flat out himself to you. It's his way of saying, everything you're going to need, I am that. Years ago, I read Dr. John Piper writing about the nature of God. I'll never forget this. He said, you know, most of us act out of our deficiency. In fact, we do a lot in our lives to compensate for our deficiencies. I've probably done several things just today to compensate for my deficiencies. But he said, when you think about God, he never does anything to compensate for his deficiencies because he has none. He is just always totally sufficient. So Paul says, so when you pray, don't worry about anything, but in everything, come to him and trust him and put your heart, your needs in his lap. I want to tell you, I have a lot of trouble not worrying about anything. I've not done well with that. But rather than having to worry about anything, there is this sense of overwhelmness we're to live with that he is I am. He is I am. He just is it. And he's got everything. He's got it. My wife and I were in the San Antonio airport a year ago visiting our daughter there. And we were at the luggage thing, you know, waiting for the belt. The belt was bringing luggage out, and we were waiting for our suitcase. And right beside me was standing this little, cute little five-year-old girl and her mom. And this huge pack, it wasn't exactly a suitcase, it was like this huge pack came out. And the mom, I could see, reached out to grab a handle at the side of this huge pack and started trying to drag it off the belt. And her little five-year-old daughter just came around the side of it as her mom was dragging it off the belt, put her hands like far as she could stretch around this, just to kind of stretch out on the side of the pack, and she confidently announced to everybody who could hear her, I've got it. I turned to him, did you see that? Did you hear that? That was hilarious. Like, you know, just as confident, I've got it. You know what? And she no more had that pack than we have the pack. And God must just smile at us and say, you're living in a deluded world if you think I've got it. But let me introduce you to myself. My name is I Am. All it takes to have it for you as you go. Now what happens three chapters later in Exodus chapter 6 is that God talks about his names to Moses. Because sure enough, Moses goes back to Egypt, all these confirmation, miraculous things, and so he finally goes to Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. God sent me to tell you, let my people go from slavery. And Pharaoh said no. Moses wasn't expecting this. So he had quite a prayer meeting at the end of chapter 5. It's a raw, honest prayer meeting that basically boiled down to, God, you told me to do this, but you're not keeping your part. God, you told me to come and tell Pharaoh to let him go, and he's making it worse, and you're not doing what you said. He just flat out tells God, you're not doing what you said. So God sort of reframes. He doesn't play his therapist here, but he just sort of reframes everything for him, and he says in Exodus 6, verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, who really predated Moses. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, or El Shaddai. El, kind of that generic word for God, Shaddai, Almighty. To your forefathers, I appeared to them as the Mighty One, the one who created everything, the Mighty One. But I, by my name, the Lord, or Yahweh, related to I Am that I Am, I did not make myself fully known to them. Isn't that interesting? He said, initially, as my revelation began in the world, I showed myself as the all-powerful one. Power is one thing, but personalness is another thing. And that's why we call Yahweh the personal name of God. He's the God who steps into our captivity. He's the God who steps into our insufficiency and declares by personal self-identification as I am that I am, that he is everything that I need. And then he goes on and gives what I like to refer them to them as the seven I wills of God. This is the I am that I am. And so in verse 6 of that same chapter, three verses later, he says, therefore, he said, I reveal myself as El Shaddai, but now I'm revealing myself in this very personal way as the God who is I am and enters your captivity. And so therefore, verse 6, I said to the say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and number one, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And two, I will free you from being slaves to them. And three, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. And number four, I will take you, I will take you as my own people. And number five, I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And then number six, I will bring you out to the land I swore with uplifted hand to go to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the seventh time he says, I will give it to you as a possession. For I am the Lord. These are the seven great I wills of God. And they all come out of the fact that he is utterly and totally himself. And our weakness doesn't weaken him. Our perplexity doesn't confuse him. Just because we don't have options doesn't mean he still isn't sovereign. He's always God. He has options. And he is always acting. And so he says, I will seven times. I will bring you out. I will free you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own. I will be your God. I will bring you to your inheritance, and I will give the land to you. This sounds like Jesus to me, and sure enough, it is. This is Jesus who said, who embodied all the seven I wills, the great seven great I wills of God. Jesus embodied every one of these. He said, I'll bring you out. When he died on the cross, you know, all roads lead to Jesus eventually. They go right to the cross and out the tomb. All roads go there. And he said, when he died on the cross and when he rose from the dead, he did bring us out of our slavery to sin and the addictions. He did free us from things that used to control and rule our life. He did redeem us. He put down the price of his life to buy us from the kingdom of darkness. He does take us as his own. He said, I will take you as my own. This Jesus is the one who makes us God's own. He said, I will be your God. The Christmas name for Jesus was Emmanuel. He said, I will bring you to your inheritance. I'm giving you a future and a hope, and I will give to you all that you need. Paul would say we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus because he is the I am. So the last verse to put on the screen is this. Jesus is arguing with his critics in John chapter 8. And in verse 58, he says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. And John does something humorous. He goes on a few chapters later in verse 18. When Jesus is arrested in the garden, they say, where is Jesus? And Jesus responds, I am he. And everybody falls back on the ground. All these soldiers, all these chief priests, all these people out to get him. Just the power of him just saying, I am he. And the power that just knocked everything to the ground. This is the I am that we serve. So I'd like you to stand with me, please. And in the name of Jesus, I'd just like to pray over you tonight. I'm going to pray, and the worship team can come back. I'm going to pray for you around those seven great I wills of God that all come out of his name, Yahweh. I am that I am. And I just want you just to receive right now. We're not playing church here tonight. The presence of God is here. His word brings faith to our hearts. And he says, I'm just sufficient for everything you need. And we thank you for that right now, Lord, as we stand in your presence. We thank you that you're sufficient to meet every need we have. We thank you there's not a thing we would ever present in our lives that you don't have capacity just to be God in that situation. So even to the degree that we don't worry anymore, because you just are the I am, and you're able. And so, Lord, you said to Moses, I'll bring you out. And I pray any of us that just need that place, we need just brought out, Lord, of behavior patterns we're trying to break. Lord, some of us just need to be brought out of distractions. Some of us just need to be brought out of excessive weariness in our lives. We thank you. You're the great I am, and you bring us out. You said, I will bring you out. And Lord, we just receive that tonight. You said you'll free us. Lord, if any of us are struggling with thought patterns that just are so contrary to your truth, if any of us are struggling with addictions, thank you. You said you'll free us. In Jesus' name, be free in this moment. Be free in Jesus' name. And you said, I'll redeem you. Lord, thank you. You redeemed us with your blood shed on the cross. And Lord, we pray you'll forgive our sin. And we pray that if any of us, our hearts aren't right with you, you just redeem us tonight. And you said you'll take us as our own, as your own. Lord, may we just sense that embrace of your presence. Thank you. You've made us your own. We're not on this alone. You have made us your own. We're never alone. You're just, I am with us all the time. And you said, I will be your God. And Lord, we pray that you will be our God. Hallelujah. We pray you'll, Lord, some of us have been like that little girl. We just think we have it. And you're just smiling in heaven and saying, oh, what they don't see. But I thank you that you can be our God. We thank you that you have it, Lord. That all the things we can't control and we can't handle, you have it because you're our God. And you said, I will bring you to. We pray, Lord, you'll guide our steps the second half of this week. We pray you'll guide our steps into your purposes. And Lord, we just have the joy of being led by you into a future that you know, but we don't know. Lord, because you just are. You are. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray that you will give to us all of your blessings. We pray we'll never be disbelieving of all the great blessings that you want to give us. Hallelujah. Lord, we just receive the blessing of the Lord. In Jesus' name, may the blessing of the Lord, may all that the Lord, out of who he is, May all that he would want to impart to you, may you just receive it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just thank him right now. Lord, we just lift our voices and thank you. Thank you for all the things you will do because of what you are. Thank you for wrapping it all up in Jesus, who's the resurrection and the life. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. We thank you that you are the mighty God. Thank you for hope. Thank you for strength tonight. Lord, we just leave our worries here tonight, Lord. We just go with you, Lord, for you are the resurrection and the life. You are the great I am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of this.